Hello, Gems! Welcome to another episode of TRs in Tech. I'm your host, Shelley Benhoff, and today I'm talking to Trina Celeste, and she is the CEO at Rise Next and the co-founder of Tech Moms. We talked about her company, Tech Moms, which provides training and a community for women in tech, how to speak up in the workplace, and her book, Orchestrating Life-Work Harmony, which is available now at trinaceleste.com. Without further ado, on to the episode. Hey, Trina, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I don't have my tiara today. I don't own one, I realized. I'm like, I missed the princess boat.
Yeah. At some point, I always tell people when this takes off, not if, but like when, I will send everybody a tiara.
Oh, wonderful.
For being on the show. Yeah. So let's just jump right in and have you tell us your tech story.
Yeah. So I've been in the tech industry for 30 years. So a long time. I did my computer science degree back in 1996 and then did a bachelor's in business and information systems, a master's in business. Just have always loved the opportunities to solve problems through technology. And so it's been part of my life, an enabler for many things within my life, being in tech and just seeing the opportunities that are there. And I have always had this passion for seeing more women within the industry. And when I did my computer science degree, I actually wrote my thesis paper back in 95 on why women should go into computer science. And so it's been a lifelong journey for me of trying to get more women to recognize the opportunities and quit opting out of all of the demand and higher pay and flexibility and remote working and all the benefits of working within these fields, as well as it's just exciting to be in. I've worked on hundreds of systems now, designed hundreds of systems throughout my career. And it's just been such a wonderful experience. That's why I ended up co-founding the organization Tech Moms, in which we help women now transition careers into technology. So it's just been in my blood. I don't know what else to say, but enjoy the technology scene, enjoy the tech industry, and just want to see more individuals take the opportunities that are there.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have very similar backgrounds. I also I realized it yesterday, 25 years in tech. So I'm like right there with you.
Yeah, you look back and go, I'm not that old, am I?
That's what I think. There's no way.
This year. So I'm gosh. We are getting to that time.
Congratulations. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, I also, studied computer science as mm-hmm. well. I was one of like five women in my graduating class of maybe like 400 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we hired at Tech Moms, we actually hire technical trainers to come in and do our courses because we teach HTML, CSS, a little JavaScript, but we do career exploration. So we bring in presenters that are in the field currently in UI, UX, and cybersecurity, and technical sales, and digital marketing. Like there's all these things that we just don't even realize there are positions available that we can quickly access. And I was talking to one of our technical trainers, Kim and Murphy. She's actually a professor at Weber State, which is one of the universities that we partner with. And I was sharing this story about how I was the only woman in my classes, but we found out that we graduated the same year in computer science back in 96, but we never had classes together. And it was so, isolating, feeling like you're the only one, but we actually, there was five of us in our graduating mm-hmm. class, but none of us had classes together.
Oh, that sucks.
And yeah. It's like, we need to do a better job of bringing that together. So you're like, oh, okay, there are others that look like me and act like me. And, I can kind of, we rely a lot on the see it, be it model. That's why we bring in women in the industry is because it's like, oh, I can see they did it. I can do it too. Hmm. And try and get, you know, that visibility out there a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. So tech moms, this is why I, you know, reached out to you. I love it. I love just, I mean, that's what the podcast is all about, you know, like empowering women in tech. Tell us all about it.
Sure. So we founded in 2020, really working with, we partner with our local universities, but we run the full program. And it's a 9-week course that runs usually on Saturdays. We do an online program as well that basically helps individuals with a few different things. First of all, it's give enough skills to go, oh, I can do this. It builds confidence when you're like, oh, this is all it is. And that's seriously what happens most often. So just really making sure that they understand all the opportunities that are available. But we also remove barriers. So we provide childcare in some of our locations. We provide financial. It's only $400 to go through the course. We fundraise for all of it. So we are a nonprofit. Really trying to help enable these pathways to everyone. And then we really build a community. We say once a tech mom, always a tech mom. Because it's not just about the skills. It's feeling that connectedness and community that's missing for a lot of women when you are the only one. You feel isolated. It's hard to stick with something when you're just the only person moving forward in something. And so we really build community. And so, you know, I call it a little bit like a cult, but a good cult, right? It's like you want to have that sense of like, I belong. And you don't always get that in your corporate environment. You don't get that in some of your schooling environments. So really providing this foundational community that helps in both of those areas as you go through your education and your career is what we try and focus on. And it's really fun to see the transition stories that happen of, you know, within less than a year, we saw that women were moving into higher education, taking jobs, getting promotions, and on average, they were making 23% more in pay within a year. And I'm always saying, like, who wouldn't want that, right? Like, why do we opt out of these? It's not, it's, you know, it's work and it takes time and it takes focus, but it's not as hard as individuals think it is. And so we just really try and help with those clarity in the career pathing, in, you know, interviewing and resume building and getting in. And we do a lot of placement. We have a dedicated placement coordinator. So it's just helping through the whole pipeline development into as you make these career transitions. And what I would say is we aren't just doing career transitions. We're making life transformations. Like the changes I see in these women as they go through the program and their confidence in how much stronger they become and how much more clear they are on their direction in life, just complete transformation.
That's great. It's,
you know, you talk about empowering. It's why I do what I do. It's really fulfilling to see these transformations happen time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it is so important for women to have that like community, as you said. I was just thinking about college. Like I felt alone, right? Because this whole movement didn't exist. And so I was trying to insert myself into male groups, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that didn't go very well in college age, you know, young woman trying to make it in this industry, right? Lots of creepers and stuff like that. It would have been nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the same experience. And I think that's one thing I would say though, is don't let that fear deter you. Because once you get it, it's not always like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have those experiences. I'm not going to disregard it. Like, sexism is real. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge it. Because it's never going to go away if we don't start speaking up and saying something. If it's really, you know, I had professors telling blonde jokes in class, and I had, you know, I had fellow students looking at porn while in class.
Same.
Isn't
Same.
That? And I'm like, and they'd hold up this little folder, like, I'm not going to notice. And I'm like, no, like, I should have reported that, but I didn't know to speak up. And yeah. I think, you know, I'm writing this book. It should be out this month. And I talk about this. Where we need to stop having a thicker skin and just putting up with it, and being able to speak up and knowing how to speak up is really important. I call it pest control, your role in pest control. Absolutely. Being able to speak up and say, this isn't okay. Because I think right now our young women are still not, they don't have the awareness to understand that this is something in their control and they can say something. I think we're getting there, but there's still a lot of work to do. And even for adults, we need to do that. I had a class, we did a Tech Moms Latinas specific program. And the students, you know, raise their hand and they're like, well, are we even going to be wanted? Right? This fear of like, well, I'm going into this heavy bro culture. Are we going to be wanted? And I just stopped and I said, who cares? We're coming anyway. Who gives a shit? Like, sorry, you can edit that out.
But it's No, it's fine.
I want to get the mindset of like, who cares if they want us? We're coming. Get ready. Right? Mm-hmm. Instead of that hesitant, like, oh, what if they're not? No, like, we're coming. This is where I'm going. This is what I want to do. And there's going to be those out there when you get that set vision in your life of where you want to go that are going to step up and help you get there. So instead of that hesitancy, start having that clarity in order to move forward. And it's that again is transformational, right? And it starts from within and it starts to project out as you start to get that confidence of like, no, this is what I'm doing. And here's where I'm going. And here's how I speak up, right? As you kind of move through.
I love that. Yeah. I think speaking up for younger people is harder. Yeah. Now that I'm in my 40s, I like to tell people I have reached my no fuck 40s. Like, I just I'm going to tell you if you're being disrespectful, and you know, that's just going to be how it is.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I'm going to hit that in my 50s, I think now. And it's still hard. I had an experience just recent where it catches you off guard. Sometimes it's so blatant and you're just not expecting it. And I was at a gala, and a friend of mine was introducing me to other, you know, professionals and venture capitalists and some of the things with the business work I do. And he walked up and introduced me to somebody, and he looks at me. And he looks me up and down and goes, yeah, you're too bossy. Didn't even ask my name. Didn't ask anything about me. Just one look at me. Like, it was the most degrading thing as an almost 50-year-old woman to be treated that way. And I just went, I'm not too bossy. Like, you just kind of like get defensive, right? And that's your immediate, and that's fine. Like, am I not too bossy? Like, who are you? Am I going to get him punked right now? Like, what is happening? You know?
Yeah.
And my friend is like, oh my gosh, what do I do? He doesn't say anything. And then the guy just goes to his phone and he's just, you like, won't pay attention to me anymore. And I'm like, did this really just happen? Does he, like, I know this sounds like, but does he know who I am and what I do? Like really? This is like, so I'm like, I'm using it. I'm like out there telling everybody, I'm like, watch for this, because this is how you need to respond. If your friend gets told this, speak up.
Totally.
Right? Okay. Hey, you're being rude to my friend. Right?
Exactly.
You know, why do we just kind of let it go and not say anything, you know? So it is a skill set in being able to speak up and respond to sexist statements, recognizing them. You know, anytime you hear the word to or should, those are red flags for sexism. you're too crisp, you're too aggressive, you're too loud, you're too anything, it means that they're comparing you to something that's in their mind of how you should be, right?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be bossy. You shouldn't be a strong presenting woman, right? So like watch for those. And then I just, one of the best ways to respond is like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Not in a attacking way. Just why would you say that?
Exactly.
Let them kind of go, oh crap, where did this, blah, I just vomited verbally.
Well, hopefully they will realize that was super shitty. But I've had a lot of experiences like that. I'm really so, so sorry that happened to you. If I had been with you, I would have given him the stink eye so bad. People in high school, my nickname was Nightmare.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, like that's so terrible.
Just gonna happen. I think you know, it's not like a woe is me. That's not why I share the story.
Right.
It's more of it's gonna happen. Just be ready for it. Just start being aware of it. And the more you're aware, then the easier it gets to speak up. I had an experience like talking about being, you know, potentially the only woman or trying to work through some of these things in college. And we were assigned to a group project. And of course it's all men and then me. And I was pretty shy. And so I hesitated. And I think I learned some of that shyness having gone through some of these sexist situations created it too, where I just felt like I couldn't speak up or I shouldn't say anything, or they knew more than me, which I'm like, where did that come from? I don't know where I got that from. But we were doing this group project, and I remember I just kind of let them kind of take the lead, right? Which we shouldn't do, but I was doing, and I was just watching it. I'm like, man, they're doing this really complicated. Is there something they understand I don't? And why are they doing it this way? You know, I was having all this inner dialogue, and I just finally went, hey, what if we did it this way? Right. And they went, oh yeah, that would be better. Why don't we do it that way? And I just, at that point, luckily I learned in that moment that my thoughts are valuable and I need to speak up, because if we didn't, we would have gone off like some really bad track. And so I learned that throughout my whole career to just speak up, even if I don't know. And even if I'm wrong, it's better to speak up than to sit silent.
Yeah. So let's talk more about moms, especially, because this is a topic that I am super interested in. Mm-hmm. I'm not a mother at all, but like I can see the impact that just everything has on people who I know and love who have children and are just like struggling with it. How has the, you know, overall status currently with, you know, COVID has just sort of changed the game here. So my question overall, how has the pandemic affected mothers, especially?
We launched in the middle of COVID. It was crazy. So we had started fundraising, and I'd had this idea. I got connected to my two co-founders, Mikkel Blake and Robin Scribner, and COVID hits. And we had been doing all this work to like get into where we're going to launch and setting up the programs and doing all of this. And we had this like moment. I remember we had this meeting because we would plan everything. I worked full time. I was at Oracle at the time, and we planned meetings at night, and we had this meeting, and we sat down and went, what is going on with this COVID thing? And do we move forward? And they had started shutting everything down, and we weren't sure if we'd even be able to get people in classes. And I just remember we all just kind of had this moment, like, we need to move it forward. Like it wasn't even a question. It was like, we're not going to stop. We're going to figure it out as we go. I don't know what this is going to be. And we dealt with like our trainers were getting COVID. Our childcare got COVID. We would do temperature checks as they came in the door. We did social distancing. We had the masks, you know, our whole first year of doing it was crazy. We had times where we just had to shut down and go online all of a sudden because like they would shut everybody down and, but we did it right. And coming out of that pandemic, we saw the female recession happening and we had a huge push of women coming out of nursing and teaching because we tell women you're supposed to be in nurturing roles, but they are the worst mom jobs. Like teaching and nursing are like not great jobs for moms. I don't know why we say that's the job you should do as a mom. Like they're horrible. And so we saw this huge flux of like, help me transition in. We had women, you know, getting laid off. We had, they were coming from everywhere and every life scenario. So all the way from high school to doctorates. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your career or if you've been out of the workforce. We see this transitioning into these critical roles because you can make so much more money. You have flexibility. Typically you have remote working options. You know, it's a different environment. So tech jobs are mom jobs. And if you are a parent, that's why we're seeing that, that awareness, we're starting to help create that awareness of the opportunities because it is such a great job. And COVID just helped enable, visibility and awareness for companies on two levels. One is remote working works. We're now in like a battle where they want everybody to come back in, but it's like, you know what? People are fighting that because they're like, oh, I'm finding some, like my book, you know, life work harmony, and being able to say I can have a life and do my work and kind of orchestrate when I'm going to do things, and it worked better for me. And so, you know, that shift started happening. And then remote working and access to diverse talent. So a lot of companies, you know, my core consulting company that I've been doing these last 5 years is on diversity and inclusion. And at Rise Next, when I would work with a client, one of the biggest things for hiring diverse talent is we would always have a remote working initiative because remote working allows me to go broader than where I might be. Like I'm based out of Utah. You're not going to get as diverse of a talent pool as if I can go broader and find skilled talent at a broader level. So remote working has really enabled companies to find more diverse mindsets because it leads to higher innovation and growth, not because it's a nice thing to do. They're doing it because it leads to profitability. Mm-hmm. And I think that that understanding is starting to become more clear as a company can say, I can create a diverse team, even though it's remote. There's other challenges you have to work through in managing remote teams, but that's worth it for being able to bring in a broader talent pool.
Yeah.
So we're seeing it in multiple impacts, right?
Absolutely. I think working from home is great, except when people are, I don't know, expected to work and care for their children at the same time.
No, like, yeah, there has to be like, so when I'm glad you brought this up because this comes up a lot with companies. They're like, we're not saying you can be a parent and do your job at the same time. What we're saying is that you can work remote and figure out the hours that you want to work. But when you're working, you're working. You're not trying to babysit your kids and do your job. And so I had a, when I was at eBay, so I worked at eBay for a long time and ran tech ops there. And I had a project manager, a technical project manager that was based out of Germany, and she worked for me part-time. And the way that we structured it, and it took me some time to get eBay to approve part-time work. I don't know why companies are not doing this more often because it worked great for us. So she would say 4 hours a day are my eBay time. The rest of the time is my family time. And when she was on her work time, it was like all in. And she was a higher performer than my full-time workers, right? Because she was just super hyper-focused. on my deliverables. We set like, here's the results. Here's what I need. Here's what I need to buy. We were just very prescriptive on the results. That she just was all in on that time. And then, you know, I can have, you know, that time with my kids. But she worked remotely. She, you know, didn't have to do a commute, didn't have to do all the other stuff that can consume your time. So, you know, in that way, it really enables a lot more flexibility. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to work the 9-to-5 work day. A lot of roles don't require 9-to-5. If you can get a good manager that knows how to set goals and targets and saying, here's what I expect you to complete by within this time period, you figure out when you want to do it, but this is what I expect to be done.
Yeah. Right?
And that management style is still in development.
I think, yeah, it really is.
That's where we're seeing this shift in the industry of like, mm-hmm. how do I manage a remote team? Being clear on goals and targets, a lot of managers just are not really good at that, but that's what's needed to be able to really do this well.
Yeah. It astounds me that we are still working the 40-hour 9-to-5 work week that was created for the, you know, like 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, for people that worked in factories. Like, yeah. That's not our lives anymore.
It's not.
Right? It's so stupid. Like,
and you work on your phone, you're working like it doesn't go away. I carry the like
same.
This is nonstop. Right? It doesn't stop. Yeah. So I think the conversations, when I talk about in my book as well, is talking, going back and having conversations with your manager mm-hmm. on what's going to work. Like, ask the question, what are the goals? And then, okay, here's how I can make this work. Do we agree? And I had mm-hmm. a conversation with my VP when I was telling you, Shelley, like I blended a family of 8 kids.
Yeah.
And it was really crazy. And I didn't want to quit my job, but like I had 8 kids in 6 different schools in 2 separate cities.
Wow.
And I was like, how do I do this? And there is a way through everything. I can tell you, like, you just have to get creative. So, and you have to be able to work through have the conversations, right? Don't shy away from the conversation. So I went to my manager and I said, look, here's the deal. I don't want to quit my job. I don't think you want me to quit either. I want to still be a high performer. I still have career goals. I'm not slacking, but I need to figure out temporarily how to manage this. So what we did is I would be in the office 2 days a week. And then 3 days a week, I worked from home and I would start early so I could be done by 2:30 to go pick up my kids from school. And it worked, but I only had to do it for 6 months because the next year, like, kids started getting driver's licenses and they could drive. Like, that was like the best thing ever. It's like, okay, they're good. And too often we create scenarios within the workplace which are only temporary, but push women out of the workforce because we're not willing to make temporary adjustments to say, look, my life is happening. And it's not just women, men as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is what's going on in my life. Let's have a conversation about it. Not in a wishy, you know, feely, like, oh my gosh. It's like, no, this is going on. I need to work through it. What can we do on a temporary? And then 6 months, you know, whatever that time is, they go back. Like, I was back in the office within 6 months full time.
Wow.
But I didn't have to give up my career. Mm-hmm. And having some, you know, a VP that was willing to do that kept me moving up. And too often we just say, okay, it's an or. I have to either do work or, mm-hmm. you know, family, instead of figuring out how to orchestrate those two things together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so important. It just, oh my goodness, like having personal problems, like you should really be open to communicating that at work because I've lost jobs because I didn't do that. I was working at a time where I was really sick. Like I should not have been working. And the act of working just made it worse. And then I would have, you know, issues with performance and lose a job. And then I'm so sick. And then I have to find another job because health insurance, you know, it was just, if maybe I had just said, listen, like I'm really, really sick, but yeah, I have to work. Like, so can we work something out where I could work part-time or something like that?
Temporary leave, you know?
Yeah.
There's leave and medical leave, but you don't know what the offerings are until you have the conversations.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to be able to speak up and say, and you want to be careful because you don't want to be like dumping all your life garbage on your manager.
Exactly.
That's not the intention, right? Of like, oh, all this. No, you don't do that. But you do say, look, I'm dealing with some life challenges right now. Give the most minimum information you need to be able to say, here's what I need to work through. But go in with solutions, like propose solutions. Don't go in with just the problem and expect them to solve it. Go in and say, look, I'm not feeling well, but I feel like I can work these many hours or at these times. Can we make an adjustment? Or, you know, are there, can we connect with HR to see if I can take a temporary leave so I can get some of these things on track? They would much rather, keep in mind, a company, the cost to have somebody leave and come back is 1.5 times that person's salary, plus the loss in the team for not having the performance, right? And having to scale somebody up. They don't want to be losing people. They shouldn't, right? You've got a bad manager if they're like, oh, I'm fine with losing people. But they don't want to. So they would probably be more willing to work with you on figuring out a temporary solution if you're having a health issue or a family member. Mm-hmm. I had an employee whose husband went through heart issues and was having surgery and just didn't tell me for a while. But I could tell her performance was dropping, right? Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, I'm like, what's going on? Like, I can tell. And so I kind of had to pull it out of her. And she told me, and I said, well, let's just make some adjustments to your schedule. Let's figure out if you need to take some leave. Like, we had the conversation. And then as soon as he was able to get home and stable, because she was this was in COVID, and she was having to go, she couldn't go into the hospital. Oh, so she's having all this emotional trauma on top of it, right? Like, trying to figure out, is my husband okay? I can't be there, but I need to be there. Like, how do I do this and do my job? So we just made some temporary adjustments to her schedule and worked through it with HR. And then she, you know, like I said, these life interruptions are usually temporary. And so then she was back and like, oh, okay, I'm good now, you know, but to lose that employee would have been a challenge. So I'm glad that we were able to work through it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's talk about your book, actually, because that also, like, I saw it and I'm just like, orchestrating life work harmony. I need to read this. I will certainly read it. I'm sorry that I haven't already read it, but
it comes out in 2 weeks. Yeah. So you're good.
Yeah,
I'm in the middle of final publishing right now. So it comes out the end of the month. It's called Orchestrating Life Work Harmony, a life first model for courageous living. And the reason I say life first, especially for women, we tend to put everybody else's priorities ahead of our own. Mm-hmm. And really learning how to center ourselves. So I use this analogy of your life like a garden. And you're in control of your garden. What are you going to grow? What are you going to bloom? What is going to develop in your life? But guess what? You're at the center of your garden. Mm-hmm. Not your spouse, not your kids, not your friends, not your parents, not your work, right? Your work is part of it, but it's not at the center. And so in your life garden, you're at the center, and there's 4 areas that you should be investing time and developing. And the first is your relationships. Do you have good relationships? Do you have toxic relationships you need to kick out that are disrupting you? There's, you know, I share some really specific stories about, you know, tough family members. Family may not always be first. And I know that some people are like, oh, family should always be first. No, you're first, and then you mm-hmm. can better orchestrate your family and your relationships when you put yourself first. The second area is your finances. You should not be neglecting your financial health. It's what gives you freedom. It's what's going to help you be able to focus on your relationships. It's going to be able to give you all of those things you need. And these are all kind of like you're going to orchestrate across all four of these areas, right? The next is your work and career, or for women that aren't working. I mean, I'm not going to say right or wrong. You should be involved in some form of work. So if you're not working for a paycheck, do community work. Mm-hmm. There is a fulfillment that happens for you when you're putting yourself to work and not avoiding that. And I think everybody, what you decide, I'm not going to judge where you do that. I'm always going to push women to tech, but you know, wherever it is you decide to work, make sure that you're including that in your life somewhere. And then the last one is your personal development. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll ask, individuals like, what's your hobby? And they'll go, I don't have any. And I'll be like, what, why not? Why is that? And they're like, well, I'm too busy taking my daughter to cheer and my son to this and my this to that. And I'm like, you need to carve out some time for yourself. Are you reading? Are you developing? Are you broadening your skill set? Are you like investing in yourself? And if you're not, you need to step back and figure out why that is. Why yeah. we're spreading ourselves so thin for everybody else, but not for ourselves. And then there's a couple other things I add to this, which is put up the fence lines and keep out the goats that consume. So I tell goat stories growing up. So that's why goats. But the goats are consumers, right? They'll eat anything you let them. So you have to set your boundaries, keep out the goats, and then invite in the gardeners that bloom. You want to invite in the right people that will help you in your life, and then keep out the ones that are just going to suck your energy, take your time, aren't going to help you get where you want to go. You got to keep out the goats. And then the last piece to all of this is that nothing in your garden is going to grow if you're dealing with mental health or mental challenges, right? So I call that the fertile soil of mental health, because nothing else will grow in any area if you're not taking care of yourself. You know, I share stories about my son who deals with suicidal ideation, mm-hmm. And some of these really heavy topics, like my family's dealt with suicide. And I talk about, you know, getting through cancer, and my ex-husband, was a heroin addict. So I talk about these stories that really created challenges in my life, to say the least, but how you can get through those things by setting yourself on the vision and purpose that you have in your life and moving through and getting to the next level. And so not allowing these things to just destroy your garden and your life, but really keep yourself centered. And being able to move through those things in order to make sure you're developing yourself completely. So that's the full, you know, premise of the book. It's been in a long and arduous journey to get this book out. I'm excited for it, I'm ready for somebody else besides me to read it. Can I say, I've been in editing cycles forever. Really excited to have this out there. Just hear the impact. We're, you know, I'm setting up training sessions, and we're doing workbooks. We're going to be doing retreats. We're going to just put everything we have to be able to see how, you know, making sure we can help as many people as possible.
I love that so much. Anybody who listens to this show knows that I'm very open to talking about my struggles, I have anxiety, depression, and I'm bipolar as well. So I've had a time for these past few years. Yeah. It has not been great, but I have made the time to just talk it out, to understand my triggers, to, you know, preemptively try to control them. And then if I can't control them, I know what pills to take to make me go to sleep until it passes. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, like it, it's really hard to work or have a career when you're struggling internally. It's impossible, actually.
Or build relationships, or yes, focus on your finances, or even feel like you can, you know, develop hobbies. I mean, part of the issues with anxiety and depression, having now worked with my kids on this and myself and others, right? When you don't have a vision for your life, where you want to go, it's really hard to stay in a positive space. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get excited, right? And so a lot of that comes from that, as well as if you're not taking the time, like I'm glad you mentioned you setting aside the time to really mm-hmm. reflect. I call them tune in moments, where you're taking time to tune in, or else putting yourself in timeout, right? Like, I'm triggered, I'm not doing well, put myself in timeout. I gotta shut down for a moment. Taking those moments to pause and reflect, and then, okay, now I can start. And I talk about the orchestrating and share some fun stories about my 7th grade band teacher. But just really trying to make sure you're tuning into yourself and how you're feeling, and not just keep pushing through it, which is something I've done for years, of like, just push through it, right? Like, ignore it, it'll go away. No, take time. And like, even a 5-minute reset, like, makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
There was one time when it was like in the middle of COVID, I had just taken this job at Oracle. I'm launching Tech Moms, right? I've got all this going on. Both my parents end up in the ICU with COVID for over a month. Mm. And it was just a really intense time in my life. Like it just felt like everything that could be going, you know, and I've had this happen a few times in my life where it's like, I know now that I'll get through it. When it first starts happening and you just feel like the world's just being destroyed and burned down around you, you feel like there's no way to get through it, right? And I started just like, I actually did this. I was on a call with work and I didn't have to present. I was just supposed to be like listening. And I just started like shedding. I went and laid on the floor. I took a nap through that whole meeting. I was like, I'm just done. Like, I could have hung up. I should have probably, and just been like, I need to step away. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to lay on the ground and listen. And I was out, right? Like, I just completely shut down. Now, I've only done that once in my career. So, you know, if any of my prior employers are like, oh, that's what you're doing on, you know, but it's like just being aware of yourself and kind of taking time to put yourself in time out, like you would with like a naughty kid. You got to put yourself in time out sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. There is so much to unpack with all of this. And I could talk to you about this for, you know, hours and hours, but I am respectful of your time.
Thank you.
So, it is time to end the show, which is always the saddest part of the show, because I definitely could talk to you for hours and hours.
We can just do it again, right? We'll do a
sure
session in the future.
That would be great. But first, can you tell people where to connect online with you?
Yeah. The best way is to go to trinaceleste.com. My book's on pre-order there right now, so you can get on the list. I'll send you a signed copy. So with the pre-order, we're doing that. We'll get one out to you as soon as they're out. And, you know, join our forums there too. I'm really excited to be able to get to connect and hear people's thoughts and stories. The reason I set up these forums is to be able to allow us to have a voice, to be able to share in a positive way. Hey, here's something I dealt with. Here's how I would respond, right? Like, I want to create this forum to be able to allow everybody to have a voice and to be able to connect and find like-minded women and men that want to, you know, help in this work.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I will have links to all of that in the show notes/description. Trina, thank you so much again.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me, Shelley.
If you want to support us, please like, subscribe, and share this episode with your fellow gems. Let me know in the comments what other topics you would like me to cover, and follow TRs in Tech on social media
and use the hashtag #MakeYourselfShine. Thanks for watching or listening, and have a great day.